University of Salamanca. And in parallel, we will be presenting a paper entitled Fighting for Voice, the 15M Movement in Spain.
Too many Bilbao's presentations. Well, good morning to everyone, and thanks so much for the introduction. And I think I'm going to change turf here, and I'm going to deliver a presentation which is slightly different from what you've been hearing today, because I'm going to be presenting some quantitative data, and I don't know the quality of this data, but this is something that I've tried to do in Salamanca, and I'm trying to expanding now with a little research project that I am organizing, in which Eduardo is also collaborating. So mostly in this presentation, I'm introducing my research line. I'm trying to explain what I'm doing in relation to this particular social movement. And I will also try to summarize the findings of the first stage of this data collection process that began in Salamanca before the summer. So, as in other presentations, this is an ongoing research effort, and so I'm here just open to see what you think and to exchange ideas so that it can help us in delivering further efforts. So basically, and the starting point was in Salamanca for obvious reasons. It was the end of the year, I was marking, then I had a social movement by my square, I was teaching social movements, and my students said, ugh. So we have to do something. So we did something, and so this is what I will try to summarize right now. Currently, I'm working. What everybody is doing now, trying to think about what are the conditions of the emergence of this particular social movement. So you all know everything about that, and happy enough, I don't have to justify that this is an interesting object of research. While it's not that easy to justify in different audiences, so for them, I can skip that part. But this is what I am also writing about, well, the strategy of opportunities and the different levels. So, and the future, and this is what this is going to happen this year. We are trying to talk to people who participated in the 15M mobilization before the summer. We are discussing issues of hybridization, so how the movement is merging with pre-existing social movements. We are trying to develop cross-country comparisons, and also, if we are lucky, we are trying to complement this analysis with some public opinion data to try to substantiate and give some flesh to this idea that Spanish society was so unhappy and everybody was so unhappy and ready to explode. So apart from this sort of analysis based on participants, we will try to combine it with public opinion data. We made an application for a grant, so let's see what happens. But this is more or less the architecture of our thinking at this particular time. And so I just wanted to explain this data in Salamanca. Actually, this seems to be the very little quantitative data that is on the field around participants. So in that, I'm very proud of. But this was collected in quite difficult circumstances. You have to understand that Salamanca is not Madrid or Barcelona. So even though it's an important university hub, and it's important in the social sciences in two universities that we host, and it's in a small place, and the local police was not that friendly to this particular form of mobilization. So we had to hurry up. What I'm trying to say here is that because we were not sure that the movement was going to still to be there tomorrow, and that particular week was raining, so we had to do everything. I'm not apologizing, but I just wanted to justify that we had to do everything very quickly. So we didn't have the time to have a pilot study, so me among my students, we worked out a questionnaire and we went to the field, and things happened. We were quite lucky in the turnout of respondents, but we were not as lucky as we would have liked to be. But still, we got more than 250 respondents in a questionnaire that was made of almost 90 variables. Basically, we thought of an instrument that was descriptive in nature. So we wanted to find out what was the profile of mobilization, because we had been hearing so much in the media about, well, whether people were politicized or not, whether it were young people, unemployed people. So we just wanted to know basic facts about gender composition, ideological self-positioning. We didn't even ask about voting, because we thought it was too sensitive an issue. So it was a very basic and boring profiles-based based questionnaire, and but we were lucky enough to get the responses of everything who has slept in Salamanca for almost 4 weeks. So we are talking around 50 people who have slept on a daily basis in the camp. We are not talking Plaza Mayor, but the second largest square in Salamanca. And we got 200 responses by people who at least attended to one assembly. So we didn't count, and we didn't use the questionnaires of people who were answering the questionnaire the first time they went to an assembly. So we thought that at least they had to have some experience. So even though if you go 2 or 3 times, it's difficult to say whether you are a regular attender to an assemblea. Well, we thought that at least if this was the second time they went, they were good enough for us. And I should say, and for us, in a particular in a conference like this one, which is full of specialists in qualitative information, I should stress how difficult this was. And because it was raining, and it was very, I mean, the time frame for data collection was very, very small if you think about that, because this is a movement that organizes on the air, so and the assemblies were at 9 o'clock in the night, so while people participated in the assembly, they didn't want to fill in a questionnaire, obviously. And after the assembly was very late, so we didn't have the enough light, which is very silly, but we didn't have the light so people could be with the pencils and that. And so and before the time of the questionnaire distribution, we always had the same people, so the early goers. So the second day they say, yeah, well, yes, we did it. So it was not that easy to find people in this 20 minutes gap that we had from the time we arrived and before 9 o'clock. Still, this is the data that we got, and I understand the Salamanca data is limited because it's not Madrid or Barcelona. So we had a pool of committed people with an university education. They had so many teachers on social sciences and social movements and anthropology, so they had an extra dimension of commitment that perhaps is not that easy to identify in other settings. So that I accept. Having said that, and the questionnaire is long, and I have data for all the variables, but as I had 15 minutes of that, I thought I picked up 4 items that I thought were interesting. But if anybody is interested in more data and more detailed information, I can distribute data by email, so that's not a problem. But here I'm just going to concentrate on profiles, intensities of participation, goals of participation, and the biographical impact of participation. I should say that I tried to skip these discussions about the external success of the movement, of the consequences of the movement, because I think we are missing the plot if we start thinking along those traditional terms of the impact on policy making. I don't think this is the game here. And perhaps in the future we will have to assess whether the movement was successful in shaping agendas, minds, blah. But I don't think this is the point now, so I try to ignore this question. But I think it's important to see, I don't have all the answers now, but I think it's important to see whether or not people participating in the movement are changing. Do they? How are they reacting to the very engagement in a new form of participation? It was said this morning, I totally agree, for so many people this was the first time they participated in anything. In anything, not just in social movement. People started to learn, I mean, their only experiences with teamwork was the teamwork they promoted in class, in university, you know, a common collective presentation. So they didn't know really how to work out in public. So for so many people, this is an educational experience. And for me, this is the most relevant part of all. Okay. So the profiles, and we are not obviously discovering the wheel, but at least we are giving some data to promote to prove things that are already said in the media, and so we are talking about young people, but not too young people. So you all know, because this is probably common sense, but at least we have some data. Most of our respondents were in the gap between 90 years of age and 20 something, 30 to 20. And so we do not have too many young people, and we don't have too many mature people. Obviously, we have the exception of the guy who had been involved in other social movements. I wanted to share the experience, which is fantastic. But most of the people who participated in our sample belonged to this time frame, which is 19 to 20. And most of the people had a higher education. So we are talking of a social movement of people with education, with experience, with a dreamed future, but with no work. So in our particular sample, only 8% of the people were actually working. I'm not sure whether this can be exported to other settings, but most of the people had higher education or were involved in higher education degrees. And we also wanted to react to this silly thing that so many people said, that we are talking about people without an ideology. And we were so scandalized by the suggestion that we put in the field the traditional ideological self-placement scale from 1 to 10. So we actually found that people had a very leftist ideology. It doesn't mean that people vote for leftist political parties or that had other political traditional attitudes, but people do have a strong ideology, and most of the people identify themselves in the scale. You know that this is an issue in Spain, like 20% of the population do not locate in the ideological scale. So people know how to, and most of the people said, well, I have an ideology, and I compare here, which is the Spanish average, with my sample. So most of the people lean toward the left. It doesn't mean that they are going to vote for Izquierda Unida, but this is a completely different thing. But people do have an ideology, and a strong leftist ideology. We also wanted to test this idea put in the field by Carlos Taipo. I'm not a big fan, but he said something like the movement has two souls. And actually, this was proved to be right. We identified two intensities in participation, which is also common sense. So people who slept and who had this additional commitment participated in assemblies, spoke a lot, etc. So we had different indicators to measure out whether there were different intensities of participation. And actually, we were quite convinced that we could talk about two kinds of people, the super involved and the involved. So the I go, but then I have dinner with my mother, and those who were involved participated, organized, raised funds, etc., etc. And now we also showed that some impact of these differences in other indicators. And so for that was an interesting finding. And for instance, in ideology, the super committed were more leftist, if you want, than the committed. It's not a massive difference, but it's an interesting half point difference in the scale. Also, we wanted to know, well, what are you doing here, darling? So what exactly are you doing in this camp? And I think this is an interesting finding of the 15M movement. The goals are not clear. I don't know whether they have to be clear, but people, when they are presented with a battery of possible goals, they agree with everything. I mean, the modes in most of our indicator is 10. So basically they were asking, do you agree from 1 to 10 to this, to different possibilities, different goals that could have motivated you to be here? And most of the people say, yes, of course, of course. So everything was 10. And in the slight variation that we have among goals had to do with whether the goal was a very universalistic one or a particular policy-oriented goal. So in policy-oriented goals like educational reform, they were less enthusiastic, and in the fight against corruption, people were very enthusiastic. What I'm trying to say here is that the movement, at least before the summer, hadn't reached the stage in which priorities were made. So there was a broad plea for the transformation of the world, but with not very specific elements in it. And I'm reaching to the end. And finally, the biographical consequences of participation. Perhaps our questionnaire was not that well suited to find out about that, but most of the people said, yes, everything that you are saying connects with the experiences that I'm having. And because we also collected, we did some interviews and we had some working groups, but this is not data presented here. But what I'm trying just to say is here is that there are some interesting differences. For instance, something that we identified because apart from the data collection in the questionnaire, we were there for a month, so we did a lot of observation, and we identified the ties of friendships and the connections that were established between the members, and a lot of sex and girlfriends and boyfriends, and that was the big brother house in Salamanca, so that was funny to see. And then so we wanted to know whether finding people and strengthening the social networks was important for participants. So it was important for those very committed, but it was not that important for those attending just to assemblies and getting back home, which makes a lot of sense, you know. And apart from that, obviously, I mean, the idea that you go to a social movement that can help you manifest your indignation was highly, highly successful. And other consequences, like, well, I learned how to do teamwork, or I learned how a social movement works. It was accepted, but it was not that important as a consequence. And I'm reaching to an end, and I think I'm going to be a good boy in my 15 minutes. And so this is going to be the theoretical part of the project, and we identified some lines of theory discussions that I think they are particularly pertinent to this social movement. And I became particularly fascinated by the process of microprocesses of learning, particularly how to participate in peaceful collective action by those coming from the anti-fascist social movement. So we identified a number of those in Salamanca, people who had participated in collective action, but very violently. And so they had to learn how to work peacefully. And that was a very interesting and encouraging process of micro-learning that we liked a lot, we identified that we would like to explore in the future. And we also thought about whether or not this was the replication of the 70s, and in this sense of whether or not this is a movement with an internal logic of action. It doesn't seem to be driven outside, even though the society and the political setting pays a lot of attention to the 15M movement. Sometimes it seems that this is a social movement concerned with voice, with this sort of identity-building elements that talks about an internal logic of action. And this is a social movement that happily is postponing the dilemma of political incorporation, whether or not to make sacrifices so that the president of the regional council is going to talk to us. Obviously, to do so, you have to do sacrifices. This is the teaching of all social movements in Spain and in the world. This is a social movement that is refusing to do so and is postponing this horrible moment of making sacrifices. But this needs to be theorized, I think. And finally, this is my provocative idea of the day, and I was surprised to see so many references about the collective identity of the 15F movement, because I think this is a social movement without a collective identity. So this is going to be the most notorious big social movement without an effort of creating a collective identity, because the themes are so broad. We are talking about styles, ideas, but there is no identity work in making, or at least this is something that is starting to appear in my mind. So just to put an end to this, I think that there is a lot of to be discussed about whether our ideas about how collective identities are constructed apply to a particular social movement which is not represented in a particular constituency and is not clearly devoted to the prioritization of goals and claims. Thank you.